You ever consider how many songs have the word heart in the title? Here's just a few to get us going. Total Eclipse of the Heart. Achy Breaky Heart. Wouldn't you like to hear Charlie sing that? Owner of a Lonely Heart. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Listen to Your Heart with Every Beat of My Heart. Heartbreaker. Queen of Hearts. And Your Cheating Heart. You've heard the phrase, the heart wants what the heart wants. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? I came across this ad from last year I thought spoke volumes. Said this, wedding, same day as the Super Bowl, help requested. A friend of mine has two tickets for the Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona on February 12th between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. They are box seats plus airfare and hotel accommodations. He didn't realize when he bought the tickets that it's the same day as his wedding, so he can't go. If you're interested and want to go instead of him, it's at St. Andrew's Church in Phoenix at 5 p.m. Her name is Maria. She'll be the one in the white dress. I'm running out of weeks in this summer series called This Verse Changed My Life, so I'm going to cheat today and put two of them together, but they go together. Psalm 119 and Proverbs chapter 4. Both of them are short, so you can read them with me. Here's the first. Psalm 119, 112. Here we go. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. And then Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 from it. So two pieces of instruction in these verses. Incline your heart, guard your heart, and that's all we're going to talk about today. Let's take them one at a time. First of all, we need to incline our hearts. Anybody know the trivia about Psalm 119? What piece of trivia, Bible trivia, refers to Psalm 119? Anybody? It has the middle, yeah, that's good. It has the middle verse of the Bible in it, contained in Psalm 119. Very good. There's another piece that I'm surprised didn't just ooze out. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. I mean, you're there forever if you start studying it. And he's all over the map. He covers all kinds of subjects, and you could do an entire sermon series for the summer on Psalm 119. So I was studying, but I landed on verse 112. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. And I started wondering, what does it mean to incline your heart? I mean, I know what an incline is. So, not trying to be a word nerd, but to incline something means it was not naturally in that position. Because if it was, it wouldn't need inclining. So the psalmist is admitting that his heart has declined. And some of us go through life reclined, yet the Bible says we need to incline. I saw a lady try to get on an escalator for the first time. She'd never seen one. And I'm assuming she's from Breathitt County, Kentucky. Check this video out. Please check this video out. There we go. She's on the right. Never seen an escalator. Here we go. Maybe. How do I get on this thing? Well, let's just ride the rail. All the way to the top, baby. This inclining of your heart, it doesn't just take place one time. Because honestly, the heart can't be trusted. So this inclining has to happen all the time. You think maybe, well, I inclined my heart toward the things of God when I was 15 at Wonder Valley Camp. And that's great, and you may have. But if you thought you were done at that point, you were wrong, because your heart will always go back to a default position, so it will need inclined again. You got to toward the things of God today, but the world beats on you, and next week, guess what? You got to revive it. You got to continue to raise it up and incline your heart. This will show my age, but I remember some of the old infomercials with Ron Popeil. Anybody remember that name? And he had that rotisserie oven. He'd put the chicken in, and he'd turn the temperature up, and the catchphrase was this, set it and forget it. Anybody remember that? That's what I wish we could do with our hearts. Just set it and forget it. But we know that's not how it works. We have to reset it as each day goes by. That's why I love this verse. He inclines his heart. You know what he's pointing out? A truth that we desperately need to get hold of. And this is really what I came to tell you this morning, because I don't think you believe it. You are in charge of your heart. You. Not someone else. Stop saying, they broke my heart. Stop saying, they stole my joy. They put me in a bad mood. Do you know how childish that sounds? Well, they put me in a bad mood. Like you're a goldfish that had to be scooped up in a net and put in a bad mood bowl. What do you mean they put you in a bad mood? I mean, you're a grown man. You're a grown woman. No one can put you anywhere you don't choose to go. I hate it when someone, well, they put me in a bad mood. Since when was your happiness on someone else's job description? When you give away your power to someone else like that, you lock yourself in a prison and they have the key. And that's a miserable place to live, and I'm not going to live there. You are not in charge of how my heart feels, I am. Now, someone could have done something terrible to you. I get that. They'll pay for that. But the choice to let what they did or what they caused or who they are, the choice to let that determine how you're going to feel and how you're going to proceed, that is up to you. Well, they made me mad. Well, they put me in a bad mood. Well, then you're stuck, because if they put you there, they're the only ones that can get you out of there. Traffic put me in a bad mood. My job put me in a bad mood. If the Indiana Hoosier football team puts me in a bad mood, when the Indiana Hoosier football team puts me in a bad mood. You say it enough, you believe it. They put me in a bad mood. You're lulled into that false belief that someone else is in charge of your heart. So I'll say it again. You are in charge of your heart. I'm glad I realized that I was in charge of my heart many, many years ago. And guess what? You all can try as hard as you want. I doubt that you can put me in a bad mood. The only way you can is if I want to go there. And I don't. I'm not very good at using emojis in texting. It was the late 90s. A Japanese firm created emojis. Some of you use these in texting all the time. And how many of you use these when you communicate with someone else? Let me see hands. Get them up. It's not wrong. Wow. Okay, how many of you are like me and you don't really use emojis? Let me see your hand. There's all the throwbacks right there. All right. The original emoji was used by just about everyone. Just a big old smiley face. Even some of our older folk are into these. Stanley sent Evelyn a smiley face emoji. And you might question his masculinity, but it worked out because she sent this one back with hearts in the eyes right there. So Stanley was like, that's right, who's the man now? So I tried this emoji stuff, and I only did it one time. This is true. I immediately stopped because I sent my preacher friend, John, this one that I thought was pretty cool. It was like a fist bump, but then he sent this one back. Scared me straight. It's like, I ain't doing that anymore. That is weird. I realized using words. The craze started. You can have an entire conversation without using words. I don't think that's good. And then I realized you can actually express more emotion than you really feel. And I know that's not good. Hang with me. Many of you send me this one. And I guess that means I'm laughing until I cry. Is that what that means? That means, Mark, what you said is so funny, I got tears in my eyes right now. And I'm honest with you, I can only remember laughing until I cried two times in my life. Yet I get that all the time. And I'm wondering if the person who sent that, they're laughing until they cry, I bet they ain't even smiling right now. They may have a scowl on their face and send me this message that they're laughing. Liar! Laugh till you cried. Emotions, they're tricky. And how our mind and our heart plays tricks on us too is warned to us from the Bible in Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things. How about this? Beyond cure. Can't fix it. That's why you have to incline it over and over and over. Who can understand it? Rhetorical question. No one can. So the idea is to get control of your emotions and your feelings before they get control of you. And while you believe someone put you in a bad mood, you had veto power. And if you didn't use it, then shame on you. And to incline your heart, to lift your heart, the only way that happens is by filling it with the things of God. Bible study, prayer, fellowship, the church, relationships. It's the only way to lift your heart and get it out of the doldrums and get it to where it needs to be. I preached a sermon years ago on attitude, and a man went out the door. And I, by the way, I hear lots of things at the door. And he said, "Mark, what do moods have to do with God?" Now, how would you answer that? What do moods have to do with God? Well, I'll tell you what they have to do with God. If what you believe about God doesn't affect the way you feel about life, do you really believe in God? Moods matter. Moods matter. You can do something because you were in a mood, and you can do something the next 18 years paying for it. You know what I'm saying? You can do something because you were in a mood and never walk out of jail again. A mood can cost you your family. A mood can cost you friendships, cost you respect and reputation. Don't say moods don't matter. Moods matter. Again, making it important to incline your heart. I love that verse. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Let's move to the second one. Proverbs 4:23. Read it again with me because you sounded like you were asleep last time you read it. So let's do better. God is watching, by the way. Let me qualify that. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, together, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Do you see how he started that verse? Above all else. This is my dad preaching through the years, and he'd say, he'd grab the pulpit, and if he wasn't standing on it, he would say, "If you don't hear anything else I say today." And usually I hadn't at that point. Don't hear anything else I'll say. Hear this. It's like, that's what the proverb writer, above all else, all right? You forget everything else. Get this. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because he knows we guard everything but our hearts. He didn't say guard your money. He didn't say guard your body. Guard your children. Guard your heart. And we have totally flipped this around in our culture. Instead of above all else, guard your heart, we guard all else above our hearts. Think about it. We are a culture that is obsessed with nutritional labels. And I'm not meaning to offend this morning. We count calories, we count carbs, we avoid gluten in our diet, and all of those things are fine. They really are. I've told you before, I don't think we had cholesterol when I grew up. I don't think it existed. Because if it had, we would have fried it. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with taking care of your bodies, but it makes me, the preacher in me, want to ask a question. How come we can avoid gluten in our diet but let grumbling get in our spirit? Which is more toxic? Gluten in the diet or grumbling in the spirit? We're way more careful about guarding our bodies than we are our hearts. It's true. Some of you really white people will lather yourselves with sunscreen when you go to the beach. I don't understand it, but it happens. Actually, I found some pictures, and these people should have lathered themselves. Check that guy out right there. Go to the next one. Yeah, look at the croc feet. Had his hat on backwards. And here's my favorite. Look at that right there. I understand guarding yourself against sunburn, I do. But again, it makes me want to ask, we get SPF 30 for our skin. Where's the SPF for our soul? We guard everything but our hearts. We protect our skin, we protect our diets, we protect our yards better than we protect our hearts. We guard all else, not our hearts. We have the proverb down, we just have it backwards. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You hear people say this all the time. It's another one of those things that sounds right, but I think it's wrong. We say, don't make decisions with your heart, make them with your head. To me, that's goofy. I don't know how you separate. Matter of fact, I'll say this. I don't believe there is anything such as a non-emotional decision. I don't think it exists. Because I think the heart and the head, what gets said in the heart gets in the head, what gets in the head gets in the heart. It all flows from the same place. Your faith will affect your feelings, or your feelings will affect your faith, but you can't separate the two. Everything flows from the heart. You probably know who John Mayer is. I listen to his music every now and then. Listen to something he said in an interview. I thought this was good. Celebrities will pay thousands and thousands of dollars for security, but they will get up every morning and get on their computer to read the most horrible things that everybody, go to the next one, Bill, was saying, go to the next one, about them overnight. No, go back, please. And when you do that, you have forfeited all that money you spent on security because you let them get in. All kinds of stuff we try to protect ourselves from. But we let stuff in our hearts, and then we wonder, why am I miserable? And why am I irritable? And why am I selfish? And why am I annoyed? And why am I so touchy or so sensitive? It's because you let them get into your heart. You let your guard down. There's an interesting verse in Matthew 15. The disciples were being criticized for food they were eating because it was ceremonially unclean. I personally think it was Chinese food. And Jesus responded to that criticism with these words: what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them. I've made myself the victim of this many times. What comes out of your mouth gets into your heart. If it didn't start in your heart, it goes directly to your heart. We sabotage ourselves by what we say and think. And every now and then, someone will just boldly or proudly announce, well, I'll just say what I feel. Well, good for you. You go ahead and do that as long as you realize that if you say what you feel, you're going to end up feeling what you say. Well, life is not fair. What comes out of your mouth goes back into your heart, and you feel like a victim. So you said what you felt, and now you're feeling what you said. Again, is your heart guarded? You wear bug spray, but is your heart guarded? You got insurance on your house, is your heart guarded? You brush your teeth that protects the enamel, is your heart guarded? You wear right guard, but is your heart guarded? But Charlie told me he was 15 before he realized you can use right guard under your left arm. You're in charge of your heart. So let's steer toward a conclusion here by talking about how to guard your heart. And this is kind of similar, but it's different, so let me say it. To guard your heart, you have to realize your joy is your job. Man, I learned this a long time ago. Not hire your mother who can guard your heart. Not marry someone who can guard your heart. Not hang out with friends who can guard your heart. It's your heart, sweetheart. It's your responsibility. It's your choice. It's your job. Your joy is not my job. I'll do everything I can to bring you joy, and I try, but your joy is not my job. Your joy is your job, and my joy is my job. I was playing golf one day with an elder. Years ago, he hit a bad shot, and immediately, without thinking, he just started beating that club against the side of the cart. One of my elders, I'd never played golf with him, I'd never seen this reaction in him, and he beat it until the club broke. And I knew it wasn't the time to say anything smart alecky. I had all kind of things going through my head, but I waited till I thought it was safe, and then I said about a couple of holes later, hey, what'd that club ever do to you? And to which he said, I never hit that club well. He gave me the impression that he thinks those clubs talk to each other. Like they're in the bag, and one of them says, hey, watch this. What's what I'm going to do to him? I'm going to send his ball shanking to the right. I'm going to put him in that pond. This is going to be so fun. I mean, that seriously, come on. And no matter what he thought, that club doesn't have a mind of its own. And your emotions, they don't own you. You own them. You are not at their mercy. You are bigger than them. They can't carry you somewhere you don't want to go. Take control. Your joy is your job. By the way, that elder, when he was in his late 80s, was my golfing partner, and I'll tell you why, and I hate to admit this. Some of you guys that golf with me know this. I can't see where the ball goes after I hit it. I have no idea. So I'm having to trust these guys. Jerry Walters, he's got eagle eyes. He can see it from a mile away. But I say, all right, just tell me. And so I was golfing with my buddy Raymond Stipp. He was late 80s then. I think he's early 90s now. And I said, Raymond, how's your eyesight? He said, I can see like a hawk. I said, that's great. You're going to be my cart partner from now on, and you're going to find my ball when I hit it. And he's like, I can see it. I'll help you. So we get to Otis on the first hole, and I hit a good drive. It felt like it was straight. I don't know because I can't see it, but it felt like it was straight. And I said, did you see it? He's like, I got it. I saw it. I said, well, where is it? He said, I forgot. I mean, something's going to get you. It's either your eyesight or your memory, but something's going to get you. There are a lot of moody people in the Bible. I'd say the moodiest of all was the one who wrote Psalm 119. He said things like this, God, why are you so far from me? When am I ever going to see your face? How long will you cast me out? And then he'd go from being angry at God to being angry at his enemies, and he'd say things like this. These are lyrics to a song, by the way. For those who rise against the Lord, me, Lord, bash their heads against the rocks. Ain't that a great song lyric? If they'd have had Prozac, David would have been a prime candidate back then. Then he'd say, he'd take ownership. I can't get anything right today. I'm so down today. My soul is weary. My spirit is downcast. My day is long. And then because he owned it and controlled it, he could say what he said in Psalm 42, verse 11. Why? Just stop there for a minute. Why? Why? If my joy is my job and I'm in charge of my heart, why? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. He's talking to himself. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Is that good? I don't feel like singing today. I don't feel like clapping today. I don't feel like listening to another sermon. I don't feel like being around people. But then David teaches us that the way your day starts doesn't have to be the way your day finishes. The way your attitude starts doesn't have to be the way your attitude finishes. The way your life starts doesn't have to be the way your life finishes. He starts out by saying, man, it's bad. It feels bad. But I will yet praise him. I will, not I feel. Did you hear me? I will, not I feel. Let's put that into practice right now. Let's praise the Lord right now because he's been good to us. We may feel down, things may look down, but we're not going to let I feel control I will. So we will praise the Lord this morning, right? Amen? I feel bad. I don't feel like going to church. I feel like sleeping in. I feel like yelling at the kids. I feel like just taking off and going who knows where and ending up who knows where and never coming back. I feel all those things. And that's a strong feeling. I feel. But even though I feel that way, I will yet praise the Lord. My I feel is never going to become my I will. Your joy is your job. Sure, you don't feel great. Well, I will yet praise him. My prayer wasn't answered when I prayed for Rob to be healed. I didn't want my daughter to be without a husband or my granddaughter to be without a dad. Didn't go the way I wanted. Felt like God let me down. That was my feeling. But doesn't have to be my I will. I will yet praise him. Your joy is your job. You're in charge of your heart. Incline, lift it up, and guard it above all else. One of my favorite baseball players was Tug McGraw, who won two World Series with the New York Mets and then was traded to the Philadelphia Phillies at the end of his career. Then he became a broadcaster for the Phillies. And early into his broadcasting career, he had to go to the doctor because he was having these severe headaches. And they found out that he had a brain tumor. He didn't know it. Hadn't really been sick. And the doctor gave him the news that he probably had less than a year to live. Tug McGraw was 59 years old. Told he had a year to live, so He lived 9 months, and in that time, he tried to reconcile relationships in his family. He had a wife, he had kids, but he also had a son who he had ignored, who didn't even know that Tug McGraw was his father. He went by the name of Tim Trimble. Tim Trimble found his birth certificate and discovered that his favorite baseball player was also his father. And when they realized this, time was running out, they became close, and Tug McGraw died at Tim McGraw's house in Nashville, Tennessee. 2004, Tim's song, Live Like You Were Dying, stayed on the charts for 10 weeks, breaking a 30-year record. Top country song of the year in 2004, all about a man who realized time is limited, and instead of time taking control of him, he took control of the time. And it worked out like this. I loved deeper, I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness that I've been denying. Listen to me, church. These verses can change your life. Incline your heart. Guard your heart. Give your heart to the Lord as a gift. Because there's no safer place for my heart to be than in the hands of the Lord. Amen.